Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
The UN Special Rapporteur for Food warned today that famine in Gaza is being made inevitable because of the decision of Western countries to cease funding UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestinian Affairs, after Israeli allegations that 12 of the group's workers took part in the Hamas October 7th attacks. I'm joined now by Michael Fakhry, who's a UN Special Rapporteur on the right to food from his home in Oregon. Michael, you're very welcome indeed to the programme.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you with us. You might explain your role, first of all, before we discuss the detail of what you've been saying.
Yes, of course. So as the UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Food, what that means is I'm an independent expert given authority by the UN to be the eyes, ears, and sometimes good conscience on all matters regarding hunger, famine, and malnutrition from a human rights perspective.
Okay, so as an independent expert then, what you've been saying is that since UNRWA has lost funding because of the Hamas allegations recently, that the Gaza Strip is facing inevitable famine. Is that right?
That's exactly what I announced recently, because we have to look at the situation right before UNRWA lost its funding. Every single person in Gaza is hungry. One quarter of the population are starving. And at the time, we said that famine was imminent. And so if you were to look globally at all the people in the whole world facing famine, 80% of those people were found in Gaza. So when this announcement arose that UNRWA was going to lose funding, immediately this raised alarm bells across the humanitarian system all over the world.
You've said that it's inevitable then, and you've also said that you've never seen a civilian population go hungry so quickly.
Exactly. I mean, and this is so unfortunate that I've been talking to people in Gaza, to humanitarian workers, to people at the highest levels at different UN humanitarian agencies. And the consensus is we've never seen a population made to go hungry so quickly and so completely. We're talking about 2.2, 2.3 million people, over half of which are children, are being pushed into hunger and this is basically collective punishment. These are all civilians. And what we're hearing about UNRWA is these are allegations about 12 people in this organization that serves 1.7 million people. So this is yet another form of collective punishment against the Palestinian people.
You think it's a form of collective punishment to stop funding? Is that it? Would you go so far as to say, Michael, that these people are being deliberately starved?
I mean, starvation in any situation throughout history is always the result of political choices. It's never a surprise, and it's never unexpected when it happens. Starvation always comes from the result of politicians and people with power making clear choices, and this is no different.
That sounds like a yes.
That's a very long-winded yes.
We spoke with an Israeli spokesperson for the Israeli government on this program recently, and he said that there's no need for allegations of want of aid or want of food in Gaza, because that Israel allows. The problem is that they can't distribute the aid agency's aid as quickly as Israel is allowing it in.
I mean, so let's look at the context of the situation. Before the war in Gaza, 50% of people were food insecure and 80% relied on humanitarian aid. The majority of that aid actually went through UNRWA. So 1.2 million people in Gaza were relying on UNRWA before the war. As soon as the war in Gaza happened in October, immediately the entire population was relying on UNRWA schools, hospitals, and social services. And people were sheltering in schools, and UNRWA was, in the end, distributing free flour, supporting 89 bakeries, and was trying to get bread to 1.7 million people. Mm-hmm. UNRWA has been in operation since 1949, 1950. It knows how to distribute food. It is embedded in everyday life in Gaza. And so what we see now is humanitarian relief is just trickling at the border. On October 9th, the Israeli Ministry of Defense announced a total siege, blocking all food, fuel, and medicine into Gaza. Now it's barely a trickle at the border. All UN agencies, whether it's UNRWA or otherwise, have been saying we're not getting enough supplies at the border, and it's no different now. So to cut off the primary aid agency in the heart of Gaza today is really cruelty at its most vicious.
But some Israeli politicians are on record as saying, look, we told you so. We didn't trust UNRWA previously. We said, they say, that UNRWA were... I don't want to paraphrase incorrectly here, but they said they had suspicions previously about UNRWA. Okay, so I'll just leave it at that, and you know where I'm going. Yes. Are they not fair then? Is it not fair to have a review, look at the UNRWA situation, and then after that review, as long as it's done speedily, to restart funding? Is that not fair?
I mean, I'm not going to speak to Israeli allegations before today, but what I'll speak to is right now. What we have is an allegation of 12 individuals amongst an organization of 13,000 serving Palestinian refugees, not just in Gaza, but in the West Bank and East Jerusalem, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Jordan. So what do the other 12,900 employees and all those millions of Palestinian refugees have anything to do with, again, allegations? There's nothing that's stopping UNRWA, which is what it's doing now, from investigating. They've fired all those individuals immediately, those that are still alive. And they're investigating. Again, it's just 12 people in a huge organization serving millions of people across several countries. Imagine any other organization, if there are any allegations of ties to any type of organization, and immediately all the major funders stopped funding in the midst of a war and an imminent famine. This, again, comes down to this is collective punishment. This is not good practice. This we will discover what's happened with these individuals, but I don't see why we need to stop funding and force people into famine.
The hopes then for another ceasefire, and that it will hold in order for aid to be brought in sufficient quantities to Gaza. What do you make of that?
I mean, I'll believe it when I see it. We've seen attempts to create ceasefire through the Security Council, and before the ink was dry, Israel would say that it's not going to adhere to the ruling to the decision of the Security Council. We saw at the International Court of Justice that the International Court of Justice, the highest court in international law, raise their concern that there is a plausible case of genocide in Gaza, and the response by Israel and its allies has not been appropriate up until now. So days after the International Court of Justice announced that there's a plausible case of genocide in Gaza, what happened? The donors stopped funding to the main humanitarian agency, pushing people closer into famine, making the situation of genocide even worse. Yeah. So we're seeing time and time again, politicians and decision makers are ignoring the situation on the ground.
Yeah, Israel, of course, rejected out of hand the provisional ruling of the International Court of Justice on that. But notwithstanding that, you might describe this before I let you go, and you've touched on it already. Of how difficult life is for the ordinary Gazan in the midst of this conflict.
Indeed, and let me, to put it in perspective, all children under five, so this is 335,000 children, are at a high risk of severe malnutrition. Because of the lack of nutrition, a whole generation is now in danger of suffering from permanent physical and cognitive impairment, what doctors call stunting, not to even mention the trauma that this generation is facing. This is going to echo into generations into the future. And so instead of, I wish the international community, instead of cutting off funding, would address the plausible case of genocide we're witnessing unfolding in real time.
Okay, look, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Michael Fakhry, UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Food. It's my pleasure to talk to you.